Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Do the Woo, the WooCommerce Builder Podcast. Today's show is brought to you by A2 Hosting, where speed and security is priority for your client's store 24/7. Tell you more about A2 Hosting later in the show, but it's time for Woo Dev Chat. Last week, we introduced a new format of guest host devs, talking about what they're building these days. Today, we are back with our monthly chat via Carl and Zach, and do we have a show for you? Devin Price, developer at Universal Yums, is joining us to talk about using WooCommerce subscriptions at scale, and being the fact that Universal Yums must rank up there in the top as far as how many subscriptions they process. Well, you're bound to learn a lot today. So let's jump right on in.
Welcome to another episode of the Woo Dev Chats here on Do the Woo. I'm Zach Stepik, here with Carl Alexander, as always.
Hello, hello.
Carl, how are you and where are you?
I'm doing good. I'm tired. I'm in what I call the cursed time zone right now. I'm in Japan. So basically, East Coast times are 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. for me. So it's a bit brutal.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be kind of a difficult thing to work through when you're used to working with people that are on the East Coast or in the United States in general. So I'm appreciative that you're here. We had to find a time that would work because time zones are so strange. So it's 10 a.m. for you and 8 p.m. for me, and you're in the future somehow.
I am in the future. It is Tuesday. Greetings.
Well, that's awesome. So, well, back here on Monday, we're having a conversation with Devin Price from Universal Yums today, and we're going to be talking about using WooCommerce subscriptions at scale and what exactly that means, first of all, and how it works, because it's a deep technical challenge. And so not as much as it used to be, which is a great thing. But we'll talk about some of the things that have been learned over time and what it's like to work as a lead engineer on a site of this magnitude. So, Devin, anything else you'd like to say to introduce yourself?
Yeah, no, happy to join y'all and talk about subscriptions.
That's awesome. Yeah, so what we do on the Dev Chat is we try to find topics that we think other developers will want to learn more about. And I know there are a lot of people who've used WooCommerce subscriptions on small subscription sites that have hundreds or even thousands of members that are, you know, paying on a monthly basis. And some choose to further complicate that by aligning all their subscriptions to the same renewal date, right? Which I believe is the case at Universal Yums as well. But then you just take it a step or order of magnitude or 20 further than most people, because from my understanding, you may still be the largest WooCommerce subscription store in the wild.
Yeah, we're definitely operating at a pretty big scale. If you go to our website at universalyums.com, actually need to update it, but we have over 8 million snack boxes shipped, and most of those are subscriptions, and most of those are subscription renewals. And we've been operating for about 6 years. And you are correct, on renewal day on the first is when we process all those renewals. And so we start at 3 a.m. and we're processing about 10,000 renewals an hour until the cycle completes. So definitely generating a lot of orders during that period at a higher scale than a lot of other shops I've gotten to work on. So it's been pretty interesting, you know, fine tuning the system to even get it up to be able to run at 10,000 renewal orders per hour. And some of the performance things you kind of see at that scale. We have obviously 8 million, almost 8 million boxes shipped. And so that means 8 million orders in the database and all that post meta and all these big database to work around as well.
So you're not using the high performance hoarder tables yet?
No, the thing that was just released.
Yeah, the thing that was just released.
No, we're gonna take it cautiously, but I'm very excited about it because it will solve a couple of the performance issues, and I hopefully it can reduce the size of our database a little bit by putting them into a little better table structure. But we're definitely looking at it. We've definitely tested some parts of it, and we will be moving to that as soon as we feel comfortable with it and have tested it thoroughly.
Now, I think one of the interesting metrics, if you're talking about 10,000 orders an hour as your average for renewals, is thinking about that in terms of calls to the database right now, because we have to insert order meta for all of those orders, right? And all of that post meta that's created, it's approximately 50 pieces of post meta per order at 10,000 orders an hour.
Yeah.
So that's a lot. So 500,000 calls to add post meta per hour, if my math is right. So that's a lot.
That was one of the things when I first started working at Universal Yams, was like looking at the amount of meta that gets added. And by default, when a renewal order is created, so when the parent order is created, a lot of that meta then copies over to the subscription. And then when each renewal happens, that meta is copied over from the subscription to the renewal. And so one of the things you can do to reduce the amount of meta that's copied is there's a hook so you can prevent certain meta from being copied. So we started doing that. There's a number of things that are created on the parent order that don't need to copy to the subscription. And then for each renewal that don't need a copy to the renewal. So we're blocking quite a bit of that, but that's something that, you know, we had to go through piece by piece and figure out, you know, what do we actually want to transfer? What don't we want to transfer? So that cuts down on some of the copies that are happening. You know, we just let the host take care of the rest. We're on a pretty high-powered WP Engine hosting plan. And as our database started to grow, we bumped that up a little bit. It seems to handle it fine so far, even at this scale.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, is like what the database actually is behind this. Because I've been doing load testing with Emir, and I did like 4,000 orders in 15 minutes. And I was testing kind of the Aurora MySQL V2, like this auto-scaling one. And at some point, at peak, it was doing 1,500 inserts a second, basically. So that's why I was kind of curious what you were using for that, because I can see that 100% being like the bottleneck, like the IO on the database. So I was really curious, like, if you knew, like, I just wanted nerd hosting stuff. So I was just like, what's the database side? Because that's like a real issue, right? Like it's also like, it's especially with you, it's like kind of like sporadic, right? It's only on that day that you need like that kind of performance. So I was really curious, like what actual database was powering like behind it, but you'd have to ask WP Engine, I guess.
Yeah, I know you're super into the DevOps side of it. I do not enjoy getting on the servers and doing all that stuff. So thankfully, yeah, we have a great partner in WP Engine, and a lot of that stuff is just abstracted away for us. And it scaled up to this point and continues to scale. So yeah, they've been great, and I haven't had to mess too much with the database side of everything.
That's good. You don't want to. I know enough about databases to not call myself a database administrator. So that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, I was very fortunate actually to introduce Elias at the time to Lisa Box when she was at WP Engine. So really a big part of building that relationship. And I think that it was the right move because they are one of the few companies I trust with large WooCommerce sites at this scale. So it's excellent to hear that that relationship is still going. I had one of my largest sites there as well, back when I had my agency. And now, you know, I've worked at a few hosting companies, so I really appreciate the level of support that companies like WP Engine and Pagely and Pantheon can provide, where others just simply don't at the level that's needed for sites like this. So I would imagine that, you know, the infrastructure that's there is relatively robust, but you know, part of the beauty of WP Engine is you don't need to know or care what it is. They take care of all of it, right? So kind of a beautiful thing.
Yeah, they've been pretty good as we continue to grow, just like assessing our resources and how much CPU usage we have and trying to help fine tune the plan that we're on so that we're, you know, that not paying more than we need to. And then the other part, though, is like we've definitely worked to optimize our queries and get rid of performance bottlenecks. And the one other piece that might be like a little bit interesting to talk about is another big project that I did when I first came on is we built a data service in Laravel. And so one of the problems when you're generating 10,000 renewal orders an hour, if you have a bunch of external services that you send data to or call on you to pull data, suddenly you've created 10,000 orders, they're hitting your API, and then they're trying to extract information out. So you can think of something like Klaviyo for email marketing. You know, you generate those orders, they're trying to suck them out. Or if you have a warehouse management system or some other thing, they're all trying to get the data, and they're all trying to get it at once while you're generating all these orders. And I know in the past, like getting that amount of calls would, you know, help bring down the site or put it close to bringing it down, definitely degrade performance.
Like because of rate limiting, like from the API, the external APIs and things like that?
You have four or five different services just hammering your API and just trying to pull all this data out. And so what we built was a data service in Laravel that it's just one service that hits our API and it pulls the orders into Laravel.
Right. It's like kind of a caching layer. It's like a caching kind of layer, right? Instead of hitting WooCommerce, it's hitting the Laravel side.
Well, and then we send the data out. So we pull it into Laravel and then we can kind of control all the data flows that go. So we can send data into Facebook. We can send it into Klaviyo. We can send it into our WMS. We can send it, into all these other services that we use. And so, yeah, our data service just pulls the data out once, and then we can send it out those five ways without putting extra load on our servers. And also, you know, the table structure that we set up in Laravel is more similar to what we're going to have in the high performance order table. So it's a better structure as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is, definitely one of the things that I've wanted to do for a number of customers that just have not wanted to spend the engineering effort to do it. But a data service like that, anything you can do, just for those of you listening, anything you can do that reduces the amount that the web server has to do that is not directly related to serving pages and processing orders, the better off you are as an e-commerce site. So if you can get rid of all of that stuff that's happening that isn't related to the two functions your website should be serving, showing products to viewers and converting viewers to customers, right? Anything else is just ancillary. And if you can move that off to another server and have it do that work, some of it's important still, right? But the most important thing is capturing the sale. So if you're doing that and you move everything else to another service and have it do the work of talking to all these other things, which there are services out there that you can pay, you know, thousands of dollars a month to have do this kind of work for you. Or you can roll your own, which is my recommendation. That way you have ownership of your data. And if you need a custom integration, you're building a custom integration from your data service to a third party, rather than asking a third party to build a custom integration for you for tens of thousands of dollars. Right move in every way, in my opinion there, Devin. It was, yeah, one of the things that I have preached from the beginning of my time in the WooCommerce space is get rid of as much processing as you can get rid of that you don't have to do on the web server.
Yeah, I will say it probably only makes sense at a very large scale. Like, we're a development team of, three in-house people, one external developer. And we enjoy working with Laravel. So like, building the data service was, you know, a fun project and also served a very useful purpose for us. I think there might be ways around it now as I've learned more about it. It was like really controlling. We wanted to control the flow of information to our site, and not all these services allowed for rate limiting. But potentially we could, take the example of Klaviyo. You know, they have a built-in integration with WooCommerce and it hits your API and it pulls the information out. But you could potentially disable that. And then as new orders are created, renewals, you could just queue up an action to send that to into Klaviyo and just schedule them for after all your orders created. So you would still control the flow of information. In that case, you're just doing it using the action scheduler. But it is still more, you know, work on the WordPress server or your server that's running WordPress. But it allows you not to have to like engineer a whole nother application and get it all set up and working. So depending on what people are doing and how big their team is, I think there's different solutions for handling that sort of scale.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know, Carl, you want to jump in on this topic because it's such an interesting one.
I mean, that's like the tangent, actually, because you brought it up with the web server stuff and then Devin just brought it up. So I was kind of curious what your journey with the action scheduler was and like how you have it structured, because that's a common problem. Because the action scheduler just usually runs on the same machine as the web server, and it consumes a lot of resources, and it can on its own take down sites basically very quickly.
Yeah, well, I can explain our setup a little bit, and then I'd be curious to learn more because I don't feel like I am an expert so much in this area. A lot of this I inherited. We've done a bunch of tuning for the action scheduler. I just wrote a post about this at DevPress, which is my personal site, and WooCommerce subscriptions at sale, kind of scale, preparing for this talk. But we have bumped up all the limits on the action scheduler, just popping into the code right now. So we increase our batch size, we double it. We increased our concurrent batches to 20. We increased the timeout time by 2 and the time limit, and done a couple other optimizations. And I have that just on my website if people are interested in looking at that. The problem is if you really bump up the amount of action throughput that you can do, yeah, I can, I believe, take down your site because the action scheduler is trying to do more than your server resources can handle. So you definitely want to tune that. And then the other thing is the action scheduler by default, I think, just has one process that runs, you know, every minute or every 2 minutes. And what we do is we have that data service that we set up, and we on another server. It's on a DigitalOcean droplet. And we actually SSH into, we have a cron job, and it SSH is into our WP Engine server, and it runs the actions using WP CLI, and it'll run the batches like that. So we're just have 20 processes running at a time. And that was kind of something that I inherited and then just like kind of tuned a little bit, and it seems to work well, but I'm kind of curious if you all have seen that set up before, or if you're running any sites that have subscriptions at scale and how you handle that.
I think I'll let Zach take a stab at that first, because you've done a lot more on this than I have.
Well, I know one of the things that that I've used in the past is modifying the storage schema for Action Scheduler, which is kind of an interesting thing. So you can actually swap the storage schema and further change how it stores its data, which is kind of cool. I've set it so that it doesn't run on WP cron and only runs when I tell it to. So I've used real cron to run it on a schedule of every, 5 minutes, but taking it completely out of WP cron and WordPress handling that traffic. And the other thing that I have done is I have gone in and, I've deeply looked at the Action Scheduler Queue Runner, the Queue Runner class. The Action Scheduler Queue Runner handles running the actual queue, and there's a filter that lets you switch it. So one of the things that I've thought about doing is overriding the queue handling and having a Laravel app actually run that queue, which I think would be really powerful. But I have not done that yet. It's something that I want to do, because queues are just so well done in Laravel that I think, using a middleware application to handle the queue and do the work Action Scheduler is supposed to do could be really powerful. But again, just a theory that I've been wanting to track down and wanting to do some dev work on that I haven't had time to.
Yeah, so that's kind of the strategy. So when I did consulting for some large sites, I told them, disable Action Scheduler, like try to like paralyze your infrastructure. So they got a second machine that its only job was to run Action Scheduler. It doesn't make as much sense for you, because like you just run it on one day. So actually I have like a tangent of like further for that, but for them, they were getting constant kind of use out of the Action Scheduler. So for you, it's more like spiky. So it's a bit different, but the idea is that the web server should do web server things. And the Action Scheduler is like what Zach's saying, like it's a queue. Like, okay, you can use like Laravel to do that, but really what it is it's a queue server and should be used just for queues. So like the ideal scenario, if you have that kind of scale, is to kind of decouple the two. So like you disable Action Scheduler on the machine that's like the web server, so it doesn't run on it. And then you have a second machine that you can like basically set up a cron for WP CLI to just run the Action Scheduler on. And then it would run like, let's say every minute, and then just processes the batch. You can do what you did, Devin, which is like tune the batch and things like that, which is how it is in Emir. Like Emir, because it's like everything scales, right? So like it's not even running on the website, it's just running on the CLI side, and it just processes stuff regularly. I'd like to use SQS, like a actual like queue service in AWS. But basically the idea is like you actually like Action Scheduler is a queue, but it's a queue that's kind of like janky right now, because it's kind of like the WordPress way. We try to do everything within like the same WordPress install, but at a scale. You want to kind of decouple the actual queue, because I'm of the proponent that like I love queues. Like queues are so useful. Like I think Action Scheduler should actually be in core. Like I think a lot of plugins could leverage this to like great like email plugins. Like you could queue just all the emails, and then you could send like on the you know, like you send a batch of emails, you could queue them, and then they could send as a queue. Like there's a lot of use cases for plugins where they could like leverage something like Action Scheduler. So I it's a dream of mine that I would see it in core. I don't know if they'll ever consider it, but it's such an important engineering tool that I feel like it should be in core and not just in WooCommerce, but maybe they will. I mean, Action Scheduler used to be a plugin, right? And then they merged it into WooCommerce. You're the expert historian, Zach.
It started out as just part of subscriptions, actually. Then they abstracted it away from the subscriptions plugin and turned it into its own tool that can be included in other plugins. And with the way that it's built, it's designed to be used and released in your own plugins as well. So it avoids redeclaring any public API functions when more than one copy is being loaded. And it only loads the most recent version of itself by checking all of the registered versions after all the plugins are loaded. So, you know, you require the Action Scheduler file and it takes care of everything else. But you are correct that it requires and depends on WP cron, and it uses the shutdown hook on admin requests as well. It doesn't have a dependency on the WP cron system beyond that. It's just initiated by it. So you can just start a queue manually by calling run on the runner. So you could technically get away from using cron at all. But yeah, you can put it in any plugin you want. And it is designed to be used in that manner, which is really, really cool. And they talk about, actually, on the actionscheduler.org website, there's a background processing at scale section.
Yep.
And it's really cool looking through like all the work that they've done, because none of this existed when I first saw Universal Yums. And by the way, if you like snacks and you want to try them from all over the world, this is the only sales pitch I'm ever going to do probably on a Woo Dev Chat, but their snacks are solid. And I was a customer for numerous years, which Devin can actually look it up and see. Yes, I got lots of boxes of snacks from Universal Yums. Very cool. Different country or region every month. It's really, really neat. So, but none of this stuff existed back when my agency was working with Universal Yums. None of these, you know, tips were available. You had to talk to the subscriptions team in order to know how all of this worked. And so, you know, there's a way to increase the time limit. The default time for processing an action is 30 seconds. So, and every host has their own time limits for how long something can run before it'll time out. For example, WP Engine's default is 60 seconds, right? And then like Devin was saying, increasing the batch size, all of that stuff, including cleaning failed actions and a link to their high volume plugin, which helps you add all of these things, these various optimizations, is all there in that background processing at scale page on the Action Scheduler site.
Hey, Bob WP dropping in to give a shout out to today's pod friend. Every site you build has a potential to be fast and secure. With A2 e-commerce hosting, it's understood that your client's store is running 24/7, and that speed is critical to keep both you and your client happy. As you have heard a number of times from guests here, performance is key when it comes to your client's Woo shops. A2 Hosting's VPS and dedicated turbo plans will make you a shining star when it comes to your clients. They even have a one-click deployment for Woo sites that need an easy alternative. Their enhanced security won't keep yourself or your clients awake at night, and they have promised a no-hassle money-back guarantee. So consider A2 Hosting for your next client project at a2hosting.com, and let's get back into the show.
Is there any other cool gotchas that you feel like somebody that's like scaling their subscription business that they should know, Devin?
Yeah, so yeah, I think we were all pretty much saying the same thing. We do have the default task runner disabled, and then when we're running those WP CLI commands, we on the first we're running a slightly different group so that we can process our subscriptions ahead of other things, and then the rest of the month we have like a slightly lower frequency that we hit the server and we're running a different sort of group command. So you can definitely filter all that sort of stuff. Some gotchas at scale. It's taken a while to get up to 10,000 renewals per hour. And we hit some weird issues along the way. At one point, like, we had Yoast SEO installed and they had a bug that came out that was causing it to add orders to their index. And so, you know, we're processing 10,000 or we're trying to process a lot of orders per hour. And it had this weird bug where it was just like for each of those, it was adding even more records to the database. And it really slowed us down for a while. And it was super hard to debug. So you have like these weird interactions with other plugins sometimes. Other things are more visible if you have New Relic installed on or some sort of monitoring where you can do stack traces and you can trace down the things that are taking a long time to run. And so we definitely had some slow queries that we had to resolve. You know, different plugins were doing, you know, weird things when an order went from pending to processing. And so we either have to, you know, clear those out or optimize those queries. Over time, like I think when I first started, we were processing maybe 2,000 an hour or something. And it's been changing the batch sizes and like fine tuning that. And then like looking for these slow queries and working on that and kind of doing one piece at a time. But probably most people don't need to process that fast and you can go like a little bit slower, but we definitely, you know, try and get all our orders into our WMS system, our warehouse management system, so that our operations team can, we pack all our back boxes internally. So we print labels and try and get them out the door. So if our renewal process takes, you know, 3 days longer than it should, then we're getting those orders out a little later. Let's see, other gotchas is just when your database gets to that size, that scale, like a lot of those post meta queries run a little bit or quite a bit slower. And when customers were logging into their customer dashboard, right, some of those queries and things were taking a really long time. So we've
question for you actually, just before you keep going, have you used the indexing plugin? You know, the indexing WP for speed plugin that redoes all the WordPress indexes?
No, I'm not familiar with that. You'll have to post it in the show notes or send it over to me.
Oh, then I'll share it with you. Actually, that's like we're trying to performance teams trying to merge that into core. It's this guy named Ollie. He's an actual DBA, and he made this plugin that you just have to install once, and then you run it, and it'll redo all the indexes of all your WordPress tables. And it's actually like really like at your scale, you might see like some disgusting level of change actually in performance of the database because of it. Like I know, like my friend Patrick does a lot of performance optimization too, and he like sometimes like he it they didn't even it got the database so fast he didn't really need object caching. So it's really I mention it every other podcast basically, but it's like such Like, honestly, like WooCommerce and WordPress should have like a full-time DBA, like on staff, to just like do this kind of work. Even if it's just maintaining like a side plugin like this that people can just install and use it to tune their database. Because indexes and all that stuff really matter at scale. Like knowing how the database engine works and all that stuff that like I don't know anything about, but these people know like all the little details about them can really do a big difference. So I was just curious, because you were talking about indexes and queries and things like that, if you were actually using that.
The other thing that I want to mention is that, you know, you're at 10,000 renewals an hour right now. Back when I worked on the site, obviously Action Scheduler and WooCommerce subscriptions weren't quite where they are today, right? And it used to take 7 to 10 days to process renewals. Part of that was because of a track ticket for an enhancement to WordPress core that we ended up talking through and being a part of. It was not opened by the team I was working with at the time, but it ended up being closely related to the subscriptions renewal issues that we were having. And it's track ticket 21112, which is add pre-WP unique post slug to override post slug handling. And the reason why this was so slow is that in Action Scheduler, scheduled events weren't using a post name. Because there wasn't a way to bypass the way that was handling, 60,000 plus entries, with the same empty post name were happening, and the server was just coming to a grinding halt. So the script execution limits were being hit, and other things were happening. You know, we ended up, it was actually Gabor Javorsky that worked on this for my former team, and it ended up being accepted and brought into WordPress core. And in 5.1, 4 years ago, a pre-WP unique post slug filter was added to WordPress core that skipped expensive database queries. So that was part of the optimization that allowed Action Scheduler to run at the rate it does now. And so I bring all that up to mention that, you know, even as a developer that's working on a site, you have the power to change the entire ecosystem just by contributing back the things you're learning. And, you know, the team that I was working with contributed those things back on the things we were learning from running massive renewals at rates that most people hadn't at that time. And that improved Action Scheduler for everybody. So it's really cool. And that's part of why, you know, you hear the drum beaten for getting involved with, you know, contributing to WordPress and to WooCommerce, because we make better software together than we do separately. I just wanted to bring that up because it's so related to the, you know, the overall throughput of renewals at this point.
Yeah, and I think a lot's gonna. Well, I'm very interested to try the high performance order storage when we switch over to that, because I think that's gonna improve so many things in terms of speed. Carl, you're talking about indexes. We did do some custom indexes. One was on the post modified GMT column. We found like a lot of API calls were being made to that in the post table, and like adding an index in a like a key place where we were having a performance issue was super helpful. And the other little hack we did, which has been hugely helpful, is we started using the post author field in the post table. and actually using the customer ID rather than the default ID that's used when a renewal is made. And that allowed us to really optimize the dashboard so that we can look up customer orders and subscriptions really quick, because we're using that ID rather than having to do a meta lookup. But, you know, so many, like this specifically, that's going to just evaporate when we move to the high performance order storage. Like, we won't have to do hacks like that in order to find the order records real quick.
I've done those hacks too. Like the join queries are insane, like for searching the subscription stuff sometimes. Like, it's like 10 joins on the post meta. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, and one of the other things that's kind of interesting is, you know, when you are looking at these heavy database queries and all of the other things that that you're looking at for optimization here, and, you know, adding an index can have such an impact if it's added in the right place. But if it's added in the wrong place, it can have an impact in the opposite direction too. So it's really a balancing act, right? What do we index? What do we not? What do we remove from the default indices to not have the database indexing things it doesn't need to, based on, you know, what's being called most frequently? So it's really interesting to see, like, this index WP MySQL for Speed plugin handling a lot of this in a way that just makes a ton of sense. And yeah, I Carl, I agree with you.
Well, it's indexing is complicated, especially once you start dealing with scale. Indexing is complicated. I'm generally more on the side of, like, you're better off having too many indexes than not as many, but yes, you can. If you're dealing with something like a Devin size, like if you have too many indexes, you can, like, blow out your IO because it's trying to, like, update all these indexes. Like, you know, if you've, like, created like 15 indexes on a table, and it's like your every insert's gonna, like, has to rebuild the indexes and things like that. Yeah, you can, like, definitely blow things out. You know, like, half the time when I'm doing, like, performance stuff, like, the first thing I, like, oh, this query is slow. And, like, the first thing I look is there an index that, like, covers the actual query that you're trying to do? And if there isn't one, that's, like, usually my first fix, because databases are really performant. Like the scale of, like, even the scale of most WordPress site on a scale of a database, even something like MySQL is freaking tiny. Like, it's like, you know, when somebody says I have a big site and like it's a 6 gigabyte backup, yeah, it's definitely large
for WooCommerce or for WordPress.
Yeah, for any WordPress site. But, like, I'm sure there's, like, sites that run terabytes of data on MySQL, and so it's really not, we're still not at that scale, but it's just the way WordPress is. We just run into these scaling issues so fast, just due to architecture decisions and things like that. So indexing becomes really important in those scenarios. Like, make sure you have the indexes for the stuff that you need, is, like, usually for step one for fixing database performance issues.
Well, there's other little things too. Devin, do you have order counts turned on in your admin?
No, that's disabled as well.
Yeah. That just disabling that stupid little pill that tells you how many new orders are there can save. I've seen it save 30 seconds on admin load on a site with a ton of orders. Like, that's insane. But just disabling the pill that shows the number of new orders, huge performance gain for administrating a WooCommerce site that has a ton of orders in it.
See, I didn't know about that one. TIL for me today.
Yeah. But it's these little things, right? It's the optimization by 1,000 cuts is what I called it in one of my presentations, right? Because every little interaction when you're at that type of scale matters. Every query, every resource that's being loaded, everything matters. And you have to streamline every piece of it, not just the database, not just the queries, but also, you know, the CSS, the JavaScript, the images, the everything that that server is doing. And so, yeah, that it's a neat challenge. I enjoy the challenge of working on sites like this at scale, because it's never boring and there's always something new to optimize and fix. And, you know, you can eventually get to the point where, like one of the customers that I worked with recently, MySQL is no longer the slowest performing query on your site. I actually worked with a site where Redis get was the slowest running query on the site.
Yeah, you can definitely get that with the indexing plugin.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Like my friend Patrick saw that too. Or it becomes competitive,
mm-hmm.
to a point where you can like decide whether or not you want to keep Object Cache going.
Yeah. And then you, at that point, you know, if you're running Object Cache Pro and Relay for PHP, you're looking at, you know, orders of magnitude of processing faster with Relay.
Yeah, but it's the scaling aspect. It's because like the scaling aspect, like I deal with horizontal scaling a lot. Like it's just latency to Redis, mm-hmm. starts like having an impact. So there's definitely pros and cons to both. But yeah, it's really interesting. I'm learning more and more about WooCommerce. That's why I'm like so happy to have Devin on to like talk about like specific like use cases, because it's a lot of that. Like it's a lot of tuning. Like actually I'd be really interested, like I guess, is it only New Relic that you use? Like what's your process? Like let's say there's like a new performance issue and then you have to kind of like drill to it and figure it out. Like what's your usual process like?
Yeah, it's primarily New Relic. We're just looking for slow queries on New Relic and you know, whether they're important to, like we do have like a Motoric or some outside services that, you know, query and they have like some long query, but they only run once or twice a day. So we don't care so much about some of those, but it's the ones that are like running a ton and seeing if we can tune those up a little bit. But honestly, we're at a really good place now. We've squashed all the like performance issues that we've seen so far. And you know, the server runs great. You know, it's kind of funny talking about database size. We're over on 40 gigabytes now. And like, you know, people ask if WooCommerce can scale, right?
No, that's a super big database. Like just like, yeah, that's like massive. Just even importing, backupping and re-importing that database is like a challenge in itself at that scale.
Yeah, that's one of the things on WP Engine. The setting up our staging environment takes about 8 hours to copy over everything and do the database replace. I wish it could go a little quicker. But yeah, there's things like that happen at scale as well. But most people are starting with a new shop, like you can just throw some hardware at that. And you know, you could have a plugin that will like slow you down, but like most people don't need to worry about, can WooCommerce scale at the very early stage. And I think once we switch over to the high performance order storage, it won't really be much of an issue for the majority of people till you grow really, really big.
Yeah. I think that, If you're just starting out now as a new store owner, getting into WooCommerce and you have the ability to do so, you know, if you haven't launched yet, turn high performance order storage on today. Start with it, because the reason why people aren't turning it on yet in some cases is because in order for it to have the best performance impact, and we've talked about that on this show before, you have to turn off the backward compatibility layer, right? So the backward compatibility layer actually increases the number of inserts, not reduces, because it still inserts everything into PostMeta and then also creates it in another table. So If you're starting with a new store, turn it on from the beginning, turn the backward compatibility layer off. If you have an existing store and you need help to get there, you know, there are plenty of people like Carl, myself, other individuals in the space who would be willing to help you to do that. I know the team over at SoCal has been working on this. Grow Development, right? Daniel Espinosa over there has been investigating high performance order storage since its inception. And of course, I was involved with the Liquid Web team at the time that they began work on their plugin for order storage. So it's a topic I've been talking about since 2017, and it's nice to see it hitting core. But there are caveats to how you can use it as a store owner now. And Devin, I would say that's probably why you haven't pulled the trigger yet, right? Because in order to really get the performance benefits, you have to turn off that backward compatibility layer.
Yeah, I mean, we did a project and we went through and made sure that like our whole code base was using the abstraction layers. I mean, we have a large custom code base that we run. And so, you know, a lot of that was, you know, still referencing post meta, and we had to update all that to use the order abstraction code. But I know there's a lot of plugins out there still that just haven't been updated in a while that are not using the abstraction layer well, or probably have some things that aren't going to fully work. So yeah, I think definitely if you have a skilled developer partner, can go through and audit the code base and make sure that all the things you're using do use the abstraction layer and are compatible, then great. But I know there's not all the plugins are there yet. Probably not for everyone to switch quite yet. But yeah, if you have the ability and to start in that new spot, that would be great. But it's more for us is, well, we got to test it thoroughly and make sure everything works, but also our data migration is going to take a while, and, you know, trying to figure out, are we going to do that on another server and then like get all the data up onto our current, like how are we going to do that switch over without bringing down the site for a period of time? So there's a lot of stuff to kind of think through as we transition to that.
It's a huge project, actually. Like I was like, you're saying it, and I was like thinking it through it, because you need, like, your site doesn't stop working while this is happening, right? So like you need to kind of mirror everything as it's going on. So it's kind of like, yeah, you got me I got like, oh yeah, like this is actually like not trivial at all of a change.
No, you'd almost have to be able to diff between the start point and the end point in the database, like be able to diff the two, get only the changes from the start of migration and migrate only the new orders at the end. Like that's the only way I can think of it working. You start it, trigger it, let it run. You track changes between when it runs and when final migration happens. And then you only migrate the changed posts since that point.
Yeah, it'll be a project.
It's going to be an undertaking. Yeah, it'll definitely be a fun undertaking when you do it. We'd love to have you back to talk about it and talk about, you know, moving something of this scale to high performance order storage, because I think you're going to be in a position to inform a lot of enterprise scale WooCommerce stores on how to possibly implement some best practices around this. So it's a very unique position to be in as one of the larger WooCommerce stores out there.
Yeah. And I definitely tend to post things like that on devpress.com of these little tweaks and things, but yeah, well, I'll do a write-up for sure. Once we switch over, hopefully it's successful and it's a write-up about the success, but we'll definitely share that out when it's ready, and we'd love to come back.
Well, I hope so as well. You know, normally I would give Carl time for some final thoughts here, but I think I'm going to cut him off this week.
I'm good.
He's good, folks. He's good. Devin, it has been a pleasure having you on the podcast. It's always cool to catch up and see what you've been working on at Universal Yums. How can people stay in touch with you?
Yeah, I'm Devin Says on Twitter, and I post a lot of this WordPress stuff at devpress.com. And definitely, if you're interested in snacks from around the world, check out universalyums.com. And we're not hiring any engineers at the moment, but we do occasionally have engineering jobs come up. You can check our jobs page at Universal Yums. If you're interested in working on a site at this scale, it's pretty fun.
Awesome. And of course, Carl, everybody knows where to find you. And I'm at ZStepik everywhere. So it has been a great time. I look forward to the next time that we get to catch up, Devin. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, y'all.
Hey, everyone. Bob WP here. And to be honest, not being a dev myself, I was really impressed with what Devin and the team are doing over at Universal Yums. I'd like to give one more shout out to A2 Hosting and the dedication they have to helping you build fast and secure sites for your clients at a2hosting.com. And if you're interested in being on the show with Carl and Zach, or you know another developer that you would like to have a conversation with one-on-one as a guest host on Woo Dev Chats, just reach out to me over at dothewoo.io. So until next time, keep on doing the woo.